You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Let's just start with Belichick.
Yes.
I mean, sure, we got it. Doesn't everybody want to start with Belichick last night?
48-14.
Bill Barnwell had this. The number of times Bill Belichick coached NFL teams allowed 48 points, 0 times in 511 games.
Wow.
Number of times Bill Belichick.
Well, I mean, 1 point away, right?
Correct. That's what I just checked.
Oh, okay.
Tyler Bass missed a kick.
Oh, Bass. You ruined it. Well, actually, he made it better, didn't he?
Probably.
Because he makes it. He makes yesterday the most points he's ever given up.
Yep.
All right. Not as mad, I guess. Can it be the perfect game if there was a missed kick?
That's fair.
Yes, the answer is probably still yes. Yeah. They scored a touchdown on every drive.
It is the only thing that went wrong that day.
Yeah.
Tyler Bass missed kick.
Bass. Come on.
Right, I know. So anyway, the Bills almost did it. And the Bills, I mean, just annihilated Belichick again and again and again down the stretch.
I mean, they could have scored 60 if they really wanted to, probably, right?
Probably, yeah. So, in addition to that, one thing I like to look at and point out, the last meaningful game Bill Belichick won, I was at the game. And many of you listening were at the game, or were at least watching the game. The last meaningful game Bill Belichick won was the wind game here. And since then, after that game, those Patriots went 1-4. He had one more win that year.
Mm-hmm.
Then went 8-9, and then 4-13, and then last night to TCU,
where he was only a 3.5-point underdog. By the way, if you're wondering, like, if maybe UNC wasn't supposed to be good, he just got there. They were only a 3-point dog, and TCU's not supposed to be great this year, and they scored 41 in a row.
It's amazing.
TCU did.
It was laughable.
Michael Jordan was in the house to witness that. Yikes. That's got to be a special hell, isn't it? Not only are you embarrassed on national television in your first game at UNC, but, like, Jordan's there. That Jordan is there. MJ is there, like, in the booth. When did he leave? He didn't leave state for the whole thing, though, we're sure, right? Like, when did MJ leave? Middle of the second quarter?
Probably. Give me the equivalent of what MJ would have had to do with the Washington Wizards to look as bad as Belichick looks right now.
Oh,
I mean, he went and played for the Wizards. Did he dribble it off his foot every 5 minutes?
I don't know. Didn't he average 30 a game? I mean, the team was terrible.
The team was bad.
Yeah.
But Belichick, man, what a time to be alive. What an odd thing that the not that long ago, nearly universally thought to be best coach in a sport
ever,
could completely obliterate I don't want to say what everybody thinks of him. He's going to the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
He's still probably a great defensive coach. But you can't get into a conversation about him without at least half the room thinking the whole thing was a fraud.
Oh,
the whole thing.
All of it.
And so much of the narrative about him, so much of what we read about them and heard about them, we watched him beat the Bills, what, 30 times or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
We kind of knew it. We kind of knew this Patriot Way nonsense, all this hubris they have about how they, oh, it's different there. You'd never understand it. It's about this. It was all nonsense. And now he can't, he got absolutely steamrolled by the TCU Horned Frogs. The Horned Frogs of TCU steamroll a GOAT. Tom Brady, those two split up. One guy won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And lost his other playoff appearance in a bit of a shootout. Like, I mean, whatever. He could have kept going. He won the Super Bowl with another team in his first year.
Yeah.
And Belichick went sub 500, got dismissed, got left out for jobs, and then lost to TCU at home by 30.
Has there ever, could you imagine when all the, hey, was it more Brady or more Belichick debates that were happening for years would ever result in the two sides being this polar opposite when they split? Brady, all of it, even too, right? Like, Brady in his, you know, outside football life as a broadcaster and the roast that he did and just, I don't know, like, he I think he's annoying, but does he come off well to some football fans? Maybe. Belichick just is kind of a punchline in all walks of, in all walks of life right now.
I stayed up to watch that game last night in part because I was on Twitter, and Twitter was a national dunk fest on Belichick.
Oh, yeah.
Pointed out the score was 41-17. How many people made the joke? Oh, he was 41. His girlfriend was 7.
Uh-huh.
I mean, a national dunk fest on Bill Belichick. I saw one where it's Belichick's career as a college coach, and it's Aaron Rodgers running out in New York with the flag right before he blows out his Achilles. Just one moment. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Ben Volen of the Boston Globe. This is like Josh Allen against the Patriots in the playoffs. Zero resistance. Talking about TCU last night. TCU. He didn't lose to Bama.
No.
Due respect to TCU. You know, we had some former Bills that are TCU.
He was at home, too.
At home,
just getting destroyed.
Prime time. They put Kirk Herbstreit's dog on the broadcast.
Yeah. Well, it's probably good to do.
It doesn't happen if it's 28-27.
No, you're right.
Kirk Herbstreit's new dog's on the broadcast to distract from the public destruction of a football icon.
They
asked him, they're trying to capture so much magic. The woman that interviewed Belichick asked him about his hoodie with the sleeves cut off because they just need that magic so bad.
Yeah.
And for the ratings for ESPN, you know, one of two things is true here, Joe. Like, oh, wow, ESPN built it up and they've got to be devastated. Or will I tune in to watch Belichick lose by 30 every week, seeing how long he can take it? Yes.
Yes, that would be great. Who do they play next week? Who are they playing next week?
It's not easy.
Yeah. Ooh, come on. Charlotte.
UNC Charlotte?
At UNC Charlotte.
And then,
come on, UNC
and
Charlotte.
Then the Richmond Spiders.
Oh,
what happens when they play Clemson?
Yeah. Charlotte lost to App State last week. We know how confident I should be in them.
We got to get a bet on the bet board. Will he make it to the Clemson game?
Number four. Will he fire or will he quit? How could he quit? I mean, I just... It's already so embarrassing. I don't even know if he feels it.
Maybe
he does. I'm sure he at least did feel the embarrassment of the NFL saying, nah, no thanks. We're good. I mean, that probably hit him. The idea that, what do you mean? I'm Bill Belichick. I've won 6 Super Bowls. Nobody in the league wants me? Like, that I bet hit him. I don't know if Twitter being a dunk fest for 12 hours hits him the same way.
Right. He'll call it something like tweet face, and like everyone will just laugh. Oh, Belichick's he's too good for that.
But I wonder how real do we think it actually is that people believe that this all was really a farce? That none of this was real? That, like, I tend to buy into it a bit because I just think the record with and without Brady is so stark that I can't ignore it whenever it comes up about him. I mean,
he had one playoff win in his career without Tom Brady in 11 seasons.
Right. One of his record against the Bills with and without Brady, 32-3 versus 5-9. I mean, you could do that with any team. You could do that with he's a sub 500 head coach in the National Football League without that guy at quarterback. And this is not, oh, he had, you know, two seasons worth. Like, this was multiple seasons with the Browns and multiple seasons with the Patriots. Like, we're talking like 7-8 football seasons, which is more than a lot of guys get.
Mm-hmm.
And that's without Brady, and he's got the same win percentage like Joe Philbin in those years. I can't ignore that part of it. But is this like, I wonder if his legacy is truly tainted now.
Definitely.
Because of what he's done to it. Because of what it's been without since Brady.
Well,
he could have walked away the day Brady retired and none of this would have happened.
That's right. People would have been saying forever,
greatest coach of all time,
Brady or Belichick. Oh, Brady won without him. Yeah, but Belichick retired and blah, blah, blah. Look, Brady or Belichick. Instead, I've got College Game Day signs trolling him behind a panel before he gets dominated at home by TCU.
Yeah.
What an absolute disaster. I mean, what a wonderful thing to watch if you love to root against Bill Belichick, which I do. Remember, Sean McDermott's finest moment, in my opinion, I'm sure he's had very fine moments that are actually fine moments. My thought on McDermott's finest moment was after that win game when he said, don't give Bill too much credit.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened the next time they played? The Bills didn't punt like three straight games.
Yep.
Like, all right, you know what? Enough of this. Bulletin board material, whatever you want to say it, motivated to prove something. After that wind game here where the Bills lost and the crew anointed that the Patriots were back on top of the AFC East and the 12-month run of the Buffalo Bills was over.
We should break that clip out every once
in
a while.
We should bust it out today. Because what was that?
Let me get it.
That was Belichick fan fiction. On the television in Boston, it was, hey, don't worry, everybody. He's still here. Forget about Brady. It doesn't matter. We're going to be okay.
Sun Tzu, baby.
The 12-month reign of the Buffalo Bills is over. And, man, what a sobering existence it's been in New England since.
And now he's in the ACC getting pummeled.
Thank goodness. If he were still with New England, I could have fun with them being bad and still root against them. Now it's Vrabel and Drake May and... It feels like they turned over the franchise enough that they are not Belichick anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
I don't want to be negative, but if the Bills lose on Sunday, which I don't plan on them doing, but if they do, how distressing would that be to the fan base?
That's a good question. We'll probably do this a lot this week. I thought about this a lot over the weekend.
Yeah.
I don't think losing should be distressing at all because Baltimore is one of the three best teams in the league. I think the Bills, the Ravens, the Lions, the Eagles, there's seven or eight teams where it's kind of like college football. Was it three teams in the top 10 lost or four teams in the top 10 lost? They all lost to other top 10 teams.
Right.
So... You know, hey, Texas lost on the road to Ohio State in a one-possession game. That's not anything to be too worried about. All right, you're slow start. And college football also has become more like the NFL, where it used to be, hey, you lost a game. Well, there goes the national championship. Sorry. You need everybody else to lose a game to get into the BCS. Now, what's Texas going to be ranked? Six?
That's why you get that game on Saturday, though, now. Right, like you wouldn't get that game before because Texas would be afraid to schedule Ohio State
on
the road.
You get better games. But for the Bills and Ravens, I'll say it this way, Joe, because I don't want to pick yet. I don't want to pick them to lose.
Uh-huh.
If they win, it will be a very impressive win. That's what I want to say about it. Because the Ravens are returning an awful lot. The Ravens are just as dangerous as the Bills are offensively, probably more so. Could we say more so?
More so.
And defensively, the Ravens are much more put together, I think, than the Bills are. The Bills, I'm ready for the Bills to need a couple of weeks, months, to get everything right. I mean, if you're Deion Walker and TJ Sanders, welcome to the league. It's the Ravens. It's the best run team in football, arguably, right up there with the Bills. It's a great run team. It's Derrick Henry. It's Lamar Jackson. Hey, you're rushing the passer, and you are rookie Landon Jackson if he dresses for this game, or whoever. Mm-hmm. It's you haven't played against too many guys like this one. He'll do whatever he wants against you. So I'm ready to say if they win it, it will be a very impressive win, no matter how they get it done.
And if they lose it, you know, like, you have a lot of time to make up the one seed, right? Like, but it will feel like your odds have taken a hit. It's would be basically a two-game lead for Baltimore right out of the gates.
Yep.
To be the one seed. So, and for me, that's a lot of this year. Like, do that thing. You haven't done it yet. Get your easier matchup in the second round of the playoffs. Get your free win in the first round of the playoffs. But if you lose to Baltimore in week one, like, you're just going to be asking for help somewhere along the way. And you might get it, right? Pittsburgh plays Baltimore tough sometimes, not recently. And Cincinnati's in their division. So you could get that help. But, yeah, it'll be a little bit of a blow. I think it being so early, though, makes it tough. You know, like, I guess that the fan base is going to be demoralized. Like, I don't think that's the case. Like, what would have to happen on Sunday for fans to be like, uh-oh, season's going to be bad? Like, even if they lost the way they lost last year in the regular season.
Injury is the only thing that could really or should demoralize.
Yeah.
A significant...
Oh, an injury happening in the game?
Yes, right, a not significant like injury.
Right, I don't think there's a result that could make Bills fans think like there's, you know, they're not winning the Super Bowl this year.
They lost
any week one result.
They lost to this team 35-10 last year.
And then beat them in the playoffs.
Yep.
So.
We know the game, right? That's one thing about, I think, fans of this team now, maybe early on in the how good are they routine, it would have been, oh man, maybe the division, maybe someone's going to come up and get them. And now they can sometimes win 11 games, sometimes win 13, win the division. It's a tough test. You know, week one, they play the Ravens. Who do the Bengals play? The Browns? Oh, Cincinnati. Yeah, they're off to a fast start.
Right.
It might be different if they played a better team. So I don't want to get too wrapped up in what this game ultimately means. It, of course, counts. But I'm looking at Joey Bosa for this game as the guy I need to be the difference maker. Who's going to do it on the defensive side, right? You've got questions at who's playing corner because we don't know about Trey White. Tomorrow we get injury updates on everybody and injury designations. Is Trey White going to play? If he does play, is that enough? Is Cole Bishop ready to go next to Taylor Rapp against this team, which is a tough test?
Mm-hmm.
Is the defensive line, which is down another player, and Hoyt and Ogunjobi are both suspended and Maxwell Harrison's out as well? Half your defense is already out.
Right.
Kind of. So if they put it together and they find a way to get over Baltimore, it's going to be a really, really nice win. Can the offense mesh? You know, as much as it's everybody eats is back, you have three new wide receivers as part of this group. Shavers, Palmer,
yep,
and Elijah Moore. So there's a lot of moving pieces, and there's been some transition for this team. I don't know that we should really expect them to be their sharpest. If they are, great. But last year they nearly lost to Arizona in the opener.
Yep.
I mean, they won by six, whatever, and Arizona had the ball late with a chance to go and get the game-winning points. So yeah. I don't know if that's almost lost, but, you know, that's an Arizona team nobody was all that impressed by really at any point in the year,
mm-hmm.
and they were giving it to the Bills.
We'll do this more this week, I'm sure, but are the Bills' injuries worse for week one than Baltimore's injuries?
Who's Baltimore got?
Jaire Alexander and Isaiah Likely.
Yeah,
that's their second best pass catcher and one of their starting corners, which Bills, you know, maybe that's even. That's a wash.
Yeah.
And then as much as the Bills have like a couple injuries here, like Dwayne Carter now out for the year, and that's tough. That's a season. I don't think they're missing anybody on offense that's as good or as important as Likely is. Like Likely's
very good.
There was talk they were going to give him an extension before the season. That has not happened. And maybe that's something injury related. I don't know. But he's very good. And
they do have.
I think he's probably not playing week one. He's practicing a month.
Yeah, they do have Andrews, of course.
They
do. Who's older, and his target share dropped quite a bit.
They'll work to get him a touchdown, won't they?
You would think so.
Or will they not? Because they don't want him to drop another one at the goal line and have another moment where fans are berating him.
What did Harbaugh say about Likely this week? Because again, he doesn't have an injury designation either.
No, it was just that we knew there was just a report that he didn't practice.
Yeah,
yesterday.
He sat out Monday's practice. Okay, there you go. So we'll see about that.
And he didn't practice since August 1st.
Okay.
So
he's, I mean, is Curtis Samuel going to be back for the Bills? Will he get an injury designation? Is Shakir going to be good to go?
Mm-hmm.
We would hope.
He has been back. So I feel like the arrow is trending up on that.
Yep.
But we'll see.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Let's get to Gabe Davis, who I scored $15 from you three on because he's the former Bill, future Bill that is back. Gabe Davis is on the practice squad.
Yep.
So?
Initially
on the practice squad. He's rehabbing an injury and on the practice squad.
Yeah.
And what's anybody? 803-0550. For all the talk about Gabe Davis as a polarizing player, phone lines are available. Anybody want to call up and tell us how polarizing he is one way or the other? I do not think Gabe Davis is a very polarizing player. I think Gabe Davis, we all kind of know who he is and what he does. The polarizing part about Gabe Davis is how the Bills handled his time here and whether or not he was good enough for the role that they elevated him to. Because when he left, I don't remember an awful lot of, they're going to regret this. It was a little bit of, well, too expensive, don't want to pay that, it's fine. So I feel like it's a lot like Tyrod Taylor, which is, there's not some great debate here. We know exactly how good he is. The debate is, should he be elevated to this spot where he's a franchise quarterback, or must you move on, and what should the Bills do? And there might have been, you know, people on the ends firing back and forth at each other, but most of the people are in the middle thinking like, no, he's pretty good, but this isn't your long-term answer. So I don't think Davis is polarizing. I think the conversation around him and what the Bills asked him to do and trusted him to do, that is where it gets kind of, well, spicy.
Yeah, I mean, there might be some polarization as to how valuable what he does is, right? And the, you know, like, he's out there all the time on the field. He did put up, you know, like, if you think Matt Collins had a big year last year, then Gabe Davis has had four of them.
Monster years.
Because he's cleared what Matt Collins did last year in yardage and even touchdowns, I mean, yardage by 200-plus every single year he played for the Bills. So I think there's a little polarization. I mean, I still see some people out there that think he's a good, really good wide receiver. I think most probably know he's not. I, like, he I don't know what he is at this point, though. Knee injury, right? Meniscus. And last year, total shell of himself. And I've always wondered about how he'd last in the league, given that he's a player that would catch the ball down the field. Those are his plays. Yards per reception, top of the league, near the top of the league every year that he was in the NFL. It's like him and Henry Ruggs over a four-year period were like the top two guys in the league. But he's not a speedster.
No.
He's not that.
He stacks speed vertically, but he needs time to do it. It's not a 0-60 scenario.
Right. But if now I've got any form of a deteriorated Gabe Davis, then what is he really doing for me? If he gets out onto the field, he's just going to block? What is he doing that Jackson Hawes can't do for me, I guess, out there on the field?
Wow, Jackson Hawes.
Would be my question. And I'm worried. I was not worried about Poyer because I think he didn't have a market. There was not going to be a long list of teams that were going to line up and try to get him. I don't think that was the case with Jordan Phillips either. Wasn't the case with Micah Hyde at the end. This one feels different to me. Because he's not at the end of his career, and the reporting after about he's initially on the practice squad. That doesn't sound like he'll forever be on the practice squad, and that there were other teams that were interested throughout the process, and that he's 26. Like, I think he's we've talked about Poyer back and forth. I don't think Poyer is going to get on the field much. I didn't think Micah Hyde was going to be on the field last year. I think Gabe Davis is getting on the field, and that would be a concern for me. If he steps on the field, that's a concern.
Well, last night on Hard Knocks, we learned... Did you watch Hard Knocks last night?
I actually missed the Hard Knocks last night.
Well, if you missed it, I wouldn't blame you. First off, you had to remember it was Tuesday.
Right. That is literally why I forgot to watch it, or didn't watch it, because I forgot it was Tuesday.
So we logged in. I popped it on to watch it, and at 9 o'clock, it was not there. It took until 9:20 for whatever reason to show up for me.
Maybe HBO also forgot.
Could have been my house, whatever. So we started late. Poyer is part of this episode, and Poyer says, I came here to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like, I know, I'm not here to take anyone's job, but at the same time,
yeah,
I think I still got something for this game. So to your conversation about Poyer and Gabe, the thing with Gabe, you know, other teams were interested. Maybe that's the agent for Gabe seems to be an active agent that gets gets his messaging out there. Oh, man, I don't know what to do with the Gabe thing. We live in this time where the Bills are great, and if you come at them for anything, whether that's, hey, maybe they should have drafted a receiver in the fifth round, or whatever it is, it's, how dare you, they're good.
Yeah.
And that's not everybody. Everyone's got their small little criticism, so I know each and every one of you out there listening wishes they did some things differently. And with this, it's, oh, you're going to worry about Gabe Davis, the practice squad? He's on the practice squad. Who cares? He's on the practice squad. But it's another dipping back to the vibes. He is 26 years old. He had no market, in part because he gets to do what he wants here. The Jags are basically paying him. There's offset language. Wherever he signs, he doesn't make more money.
Right.
He just kind of gets what he gets. So he picks his best scenario, which is coming back to join Josh and try to work his way back in with the team that he came up with. Gabe is a great success story of a fourth-round pick. He's arguably the Bills' best ever pick at receiver. One of them. Shakir at 5, Gabe at 4. Those two are both really good picks, and Gabe is a home run of a pick. Diggs, of course, is a trade. And now I've got, you know, Keon Coleman. So Gabe is a success story. The thing about him now and the way this all kind of lines up is, like you said, he's like, what, wide receiver 7, 8, 9? Is he going to work his way back? Is he going to get on the field? The most under-talked about thing in the last 24 hours about this is, does anybody remember Gabe Davis in the Joe Brady offense? Non-existent.
Right.
So part of me wants to say, I guess I shouldn't get too worked up about it. First off, because the practice squad player. But we talked about how Diggs couldn't find a role in the Brady offense. Gabe was below that.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe was gone. Games with zero targets.
Mm-hmm.
Games with one target. Games with zero catches. He left and went to Jacksonville, put on number 0, and a good joke was like, oh, to represent the targets he got in the Joe Brady offense. He was not a factor. He was not a part of Joe Brady's offense. He's not a yak guy. He's never been a yak guy.
No,
he's a down the field guy. This offense is built on yak guys. Even Keon Coleman is a great yak player. So yards after catch, separating early, anything like that, that is not the same fit.
No.
There's a part of it to me that thinks, you know, you're dipping back to a guy that you played with for a couple of years, and that's fine. That's normal. He's injured. He's working his way back. He can show a lot of players what it's like to be a Buffalo Bill. He's got chemistry with Josh. All right. But on fit, the fit, we watched it die. We watched the fit die. And they kept that coordinator, and that coordinator has had great success kind of pulling the most out of receivers. And this is a guy who, when Brady got the job, you would have thought, well, look at Gabe. I mean, I wonder if he can go to the next level. Answer, he went to zero. He became a zero under Joe Brady. So I don't know where he is in the mix. You know, as you say, the agent or whatever, the reports are initially on the practice squad. Maybe, maybe not.
I would predict he's on the active roster at some point when he's healthy. And part of it is what he was passing on. If he had any thought that the Steelers were actually serious about signing him at some point, and maybe they didn't want to do it right now because he's got this meniscus injury, but, you know, like, he's thinking of, okay, what's best for him? And, okay, a Josh Allen, and it's the Bills, I'm familiar with that. Like, okay, that might sound like that could be best for you, but if put yourself in Gabe Davis's shoes. You are a 26-year-old wide receiver. You got a year here where you're getting paid by the Jaguars. And then I think that's it, right? Like, the Jags aren't paying you for year after year after year at that.
Then you're going to need a contract.
You're going to need a contract in a year. And you're 26 years old. I'm sure he's trying to have seven more years of a career here. What's best for you? I got to get on the field. I gotta show people that I can still do it and have an opportunity to play. That's where it's different for me from Poyer is, like, he's riding off into the sunset. Jordan Phillips, they're riding off into the sunset. This guy's looking to have a career probably elsewhere. And what he passed on was a wide receiver room that features Roman Wilson, Scotty Miller, and Ben Skowronek. That's what he had to beat out to get on the field in Pittsburgh.
With Aaron Rodgers.
And here, there's a lot more names, but that's part of my concern now is, does Gabe Davis believe that, or has he been giving some indication that you can climb over these guys here? Like, this isn't going to be preventative. Curtis Samuel and Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore, for instance. Like, you're going to have a shot here. And that would be my problem.
It's chicken or egg a little bit here, but because maybe our antenna are up because of the name, or maybe the antenna are up because of the position. But where did the Bills bring back three former players to jump on the practice squad? Is it not the three positions that people would wonder about the most? Defensive tackle, safety, and wide receiver.
Yeah.
There's really nowhere else you would do it. If they brought back somebody on the offense, if Quentin Spain came back, that's a terrible name. I can't even think like who the equivalent is. They bring back somebody for offensive line. Like, well, not worried about that. The Bills have a great offensive line. This guy's got no chance of playing.
I would say Trey White, but they already did that.
They did that with Trey White.
If they had signed like Tyrell Dodson.
Right.
Yeah.
To the practice squad. You would be whatever. He's behind Milano and Bernard and Dorian Williams has no chance of getting on the field outside of injury. And in this case, with whether it's Jordan Phillips or it's Jordan Poyer or it's Gabe Davis, I don't think you have to work that hard to say, he might make his way through. And you'll have plenty of Bills fans calling this low risk, high reward, which I've got I want to have a conversation about that phrase, which is the most used phrase in all of sports right now.
Low risk, high reward, baby.
Low risk, high reward. Just going to start using it everywhere I go. Low risk, high reward. Honey, I bought some beans from a guy on the corner. He said they'll grow a magic beanstalk. Cost me $10. Low risk, high reward. What if it does?
Well, what if the beanstalk is Gabe Davis is playing football for you?
All right, well,
that's a risk.
In my opinion, that's a risk. That's not a high reward, right? Well, it's a practice squad guy, so, you know, it is what
but
it is.
The reward would be he stays on the practice squad all season and doesn't touch the field. That's what I would say to it.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
And one thing McDermott talked about was changing the perception of their losers. And I'd like to say that already has happened. It's already done. Where do you go, Bills fans, where people treat you like losers? Oh, you lost four Super Bowls. Like, sure, great. And the Montreal Bulldogs won a Stanley Cup. Like, how long ago? Who cares?
Yeah.
The idea that you're treated like losers, the Bills, I think, are already viewed as a top-class franchise in the league. Josh Allen, the McDermott-Bean pairing, like, again, they have to win the championship to win the championship, but I certainly don't know. Is Detroit full of losers because of the Lions? No. I feel like the Lions have already done the job of changing what you think about a Lions fan. I don't think there's some sad sack loser anymore. I think they live a pretty fun life. And
but to avoid that universally, you have to win one. You have to win. Because maybe you don't hear it now, but if they don't win one in 10 years from now, Josh Allen retires, what's it going to be? You lost four Super Bowls and you couldn't win with that guy?
Sure, but I guess...
You bunch of clowns? Are you kidding me?
I want to make a distinction. Do you get to just, as a Dolphins fan, are you off the hook because LeBron won a title with the Heat? The Dolphins are losers.
They can point. Yeah,
they can point to what? They can point to the 70s?
No, they can point to the Heat.
They can point to the Heat.
They can point to the Heat.
So if you can point to LeBron James came here and won some titles, so I'm not a loser.
They also did win without him and Wade.
Okay,
but,
sure.
But yeah.
Sure.
But yeah.
Find me another team that hasn't won a Super Bowl and they are not losers because they have another.
The Jets.
The Jets won Super Bowl III.
Right.
Like, why do we think a Jet fan would be miserable? Because that's their existence.
Right.
I just don't really think that, you know, yes, getting it over the line is the ultimate goal, but on a large level, the goal has already been achieved to me. Like, I'm not taking my eyes off. The point is to win a Super Bowl, but the life you want to live is the life we currently live, where you have a team that you just can't wait to watch every week. And we're about to get back into that part of it where Sunday, if they lose to the Ravens, we don't have to sit here and say, well, 7-10, it's over. Looks like the team stinks again.
Yeah, see, like I think that's definitely true in the moment, but I think it all comes back if you've ended this all and okay, all that live-in was awesome and the games were great and you wouldn't trade it for a drought, but if it all ends and you don't have the hardware, then you haven't really done anything.
Well, you have done something. You've done what the 90s Bills
did. But you've actually maybe, like, even what you might have done is in a backwards way, you've invented this new refreshed version of the Bills lost 4 Super Bowls,
right,
which you want to be proud of, and you remember those glory days, and you remember how great that was, but at the same time, it was a punchline for others, and you don't have to care about that, and credit to you if you do not, but if you don't want to live in that world where that punchline exists, then you got to win one with this quarterback. Because if you do not win, that's why I would not say it's accomplished. Because if you don't win one with this quarterback, you're going to be the franchise that couldn't win with Josh Allen.
Well, the Ravens right now, are they the franchise that couldn't win without with Lamar Jackson?
Yes, I would say that.
There's a bunch of other guys that might end up being like this in time. I guess I don't want to, I don't know, I don't want to get to the point yet. Where winning the Super Bowl instead of being a joyous affair would be a relief.
And I
don't want to do that yet.
I agree with that. I bet I'm only a couple years away though from it being very different for me. It's going to be all stress all the time. They have to win one. They have to win one because if they do not win a Super Bowl with this quarterback, it is.
Yeah,
I don't have the adjective ready for it.
It's tough.
It's because I don't spend time thinking about it yet. But I also wouldn't say that they've accomplished. Like they've still got to win one. I think all home.
They've got to go to one
or go to one first.
You know,
yeah,
go to one would be a nice step.
Got into the coaching staff a little bit on the last segment. Mike Florio talking about, you know, if the Bills don't win this year, McDermott's got to be on the hot seat. I don't believe that that'll be the case. Even if they were to miss the playoffs, maybe, but I don't think that's possible, and anything beyond that, I don't think there's a hot seat conversation. TJ in Toronto on the coaching question. What's up, TJ?
Yeah, I want to talk about the coaching. I think McDermott is not a bad coach during the season, but when it comes to the playoff, he's not. He's not a playoff coach, okay? And it seems like the Bills organization is just depending on mediocrity. Just like Mike Tomlin, he's the like a loyalty coach. He's been here so long, so you're going to keep him. McDermott will have to go if they don't make the playoff. They may make the playoff, maybe. But if they don't go to the promised land, they should can him. He should move on and get somebody else. They should clean house from top to bottom and start all over. Every year after year after year after year after year. How long are you going to wait? How long are you going to wait?
Well,
Buffalo organization. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, TJ. They're not cleaning house after a year. If they ever made changes, clean house, I can't imagine would also be what they do, where everybody goes. At the end there, they ask, like, how long are they going to wait? And that is something that I've always been curious about, is not, you know, screaming and yelling, they got to fire him now, they got to fire him now. You know, they lost to the Chiefs again, time to move on. But I definitely wonder if they would get Allen's whole career without winning one. And if it is a complete, you know, pass. You keep going. If you're winning divisions and you're winning 10-plus games a year in the regular season, that's good enough. That's good enough to keep going forever. For now, it being good enough, I think is fair. I think is fine. But the forever part is where I get a little uncomfortable with that. And it really just comes down to the quarterback, though. I think that's the only part of it that really matters. Is you want, if you wanted that to happen, if you want them to move on from the coach someday, or you want them to move on from the GM someday because they're not winning in the playoffs, then you're going to need Josh Allen to be, I think, the catalyst for that. He's got to want it and put action on it. Ask or demand it. And I just can't see Allen right now being the type of person that would do that. And I also have no indication, and we've not heard any indication ever, that I think would make you think he feels that way. Even if he did want to think, you know, like, oh, I could do this with a different coach. I might want to try this with a different coach. I don't think he would be the type to go for that. Not yet. You never know. Like, Brady got different at the end. Rodgers, like, some of these guys' personalities change a little bit as they get into their 30s. But at the moment, that's part of why I don't even really feel like entertaining it as a possibility. Florio says, like, okay, like, oh, a hot seat at the end if they lose again. Like, all right. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think them winning the Super Bowl is far more likely than any sort of real are they going to fire the coach conversation. Just don't think it's going to happen. Kieran in Toronto's next. Morning, Kieran.
Hey, morning. Yeah, I just wanted to build on that and just say, you know, if the Bills don't make the Super Bowl this year, at least make the Super Bowl. I mean, like, McDermott's great, but, you know, can we just maybe demote him to a defensive coordinator or give him some other role in the organization? I really like to see Josh when a Sean McVay kind of coach. And on top of that, I think just go all in on the offense. Get two alpha wide receivers, like with Cincinnati, Philly, Minnesota, what these guys have. And, you know, just kind of patchwork the defense, you know, with draft picks and guys like Bosa, you know, like high upside signings. You know, next year, new stadium. I think if we don't make the Super Bowl, we got to ride this momentum and just kind of have like a new vibe going into the new stadium next year.
And you're saying, wait, who do you want to be as defensive coordinator?
Yeah, if McDermott can get demoted to defensive coordinator,
yeah, no.
Someone take over the head coach.
Yeah, that's the part not going to happen. Not going to happen. No, McDermott's their head coach, and he's going to be for a long time, I think, still. And if there was a day where they ever were going to move on from him, they're not demoting him. Teams don't do that. The new head coach wouldn't want that. You wouldn't want the old head coach, especially a guy by that point, McDermott might be the winningest head coach in team history. You're going to want him on your staff below you. So, no. Listen, like, the playoff point, defense in the playoffs, like, all of that I think is fair to criticize. And that's why, like, when we talk about the defense for what they'll do Sunday and the regular season, like, getting the defense to be good enough to get the one seed's important. But there's always going to be that yeah, but. They could be the third best defense in the league this year, and the secondary could look good, and there's still going to be a little bit of nervous tension of, is this going to hold up when I go play the Ravens, when I go play the Chiefs, when I go play the Bengals in the big playoff games? More so the Bengals and Chiefs, because they've, you know, they've managed against the Ravens. One more call before the break. Jay in Rochester is next up. What's up, Jay?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm on the one extreme of this, man. I really think Sean McDermott has proven that he's a failure. He's not going to win a Super Bowl. When I say a failure, I mean by winning a Super Bowl. The guy crumbles under pressure. He should have been fired after 13 seconds. I also believe this should be Brandon Bean's last swing at it. I mean, how many times are you going to give guys the opportunity to win a championship? And if you don't win a championship, that's all that matters. I lived through four straight Super Bowl losses, my friends. Winning a division and getting to the AFC Championship game is not an accomplishment. A Super Bowl championship is really all that matters. There is no tomorrow. Brandon Bean refuses to go all in any season to get a championship. And I'll give you a little secret here. I have as many Super Bowl titles as Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. It's time to move on. Josh Allen is the only reason why we're winning the way we are.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, thanks, Jay, for the call. I do not agree that because Sean McDermott has not won a Super Bowl yet, that means he can't win a Super Bowl. If he goes his whole career and does not win a Super Bowl with this quarterback, and you want to call it a failure, I'm into that. Honestly. But that's so far in the future. I do not believe that he is incapable. But there are definitely things in playoff games I would like to see from his defenses to get there. But to assume that won't happen, you know, I'm not at that point. He did look He's figured out the Ravens twice in playoff games. Right? Like, last year, could you even call it like a great job? Because, no, they statistically at the end, it didn't look great. It didn't look pretty. Lamar picked them apart. But did he feel like that's the only path I got? I've got to force a couple mistakes early. I've got to let him throw all over us. I'm going to take Derrick Henry away, in part because I just don't have the players for this. Rasul Douglas at an advanced age, and I don't have a defensive line that's going to get after Jackson. I got Epinesa in there all the time, and Milano has just come back, and it's, you know, the safeties not being what they used to be. He might have felt like that was his only way to do it, and it happened. But it's more for me than just the playoffs. It's just the Chiefs. I'm not convinced McDermott he just can't perform in the playoffs. As much as I am, he's just never going to have the Chiefs figured out. That would be my bigger concern right now than just anything that happens in the postseason. And if they run into, and that's why I think he could win it. There could be a year they don't see the Chiefs. And then I'm going to feel like, here we go.
It is, of course, the last home opener. The last home opener in the current Highmark Stadium. And while we'll spend time on this game and we'll talk to Sal at 7, this is scheduled today. Sal comes in at 7. Andy Major joins us at 8 to talk to us about some things about getting to the stadium and parking and new policies and what you can bring in and what you can't. Chris Brown at 8:30. And then at 9:30, we're going to get some food brought in. New options you can eat at the stadium. It's the final home opener. And like looking back, I feel like we want to spend some time remembering your first home opener. What's your favorite home opener? 31-0 against the Patriots is going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, it's really,
really hard to beat. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's my first one. I have to check the Bills' schedule each and every year. I've got my first one as a fan, my first one in the press box. Like what's your first home opener? Because this will be your last. In this stadium, at least. And then we'll all go to the next stadium and, you know, hope to get there. Do you remember what your first home opener was?
I'm trying to rack my brain what the first one would have been that I went to. There's another, like, I'm not at the 2011 Patriots game. Because that's not their home opener anyway, right? Is that week two, week three, when they beat New England?
31-0? Or no, the Fitz game?
No, the Fitz one.
Fitz game is not a home
opener. That's not a home opener?
No.
What's the first? I remember being in the booth for this. The first time I was ever like watching the game from the broadcast booth was the Steelers home opener.
Okay.
Block punt.
They lose.
Yeah. People were excited for that one. That was after the COVID year, first game back. Everybody's back together. And what? Shot Roethlisberger, beat the Bills. That one wasn't great. What from the drought? That's a good one.
It used to be remembering home openers was basically kind of like remembering the drought itself, because you had memorable games that they lost in hilarious fashion. I've confirmed.
Sure.
My first home opener was 31-0, 2003.
That's pretty good.
That's my first ever home opener.
Really, that's going to be tough to top.
Because I can remember watching the 2 years before, and I know I was not at the game. I was not at the Chad Morton double kickoff return against with the Jets.
Okay.
He had a kickoff return for a touchdown. Bledsoe forces overtime, and then Chad Morton returns the opening kick of overtime for a touchdown, which on the list of gut punches you could possibly have. Your brand new franchise quarterback forces overtime at home in the opener. You lose the toss, and the guy returns the kick the whole way. A house call to end the game. Tough. Of course, if that happens in this year's home opener, Josh Allen goes back on the field because each team is guaranteed a possession. But, 31-0, my first ever home opener. September 7th. 2003.
Okay.
It'll be the anniversary.
Sam Adams marching into the end zone.
Sam Adams marching into the end zone. Lawyer Malloy, that was a time.
Yeah.
Do you remember that well or no?
A little bit. Him getting cut by New England and then immediately coming to the Bills and the revenge game like a week later.
Yep.
Did he make, like, did he get a pick in that game too, maybe?
Yeah, I think he had a sack. I don't know if he had a pick. I'm pretty sure he had Lauren Molloy had a sack in that game.
Okay.
The other thing about that season, that's a season where they start 2-0. They beat New England 31-0 and the Jaguars 38-17.
Yeah.
And I have a very distinct memory. I think PTI was on in 2003. That's a long time ago.
Probably right around when they started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can specifically remember it was either Around the Horn or PTI or both, because they both started about the same time. They called the Bills the best team in football. They were 2-0.
Really?
2-0.
Really?
Yep. 2-0 and had just won by a combined score of 69-17, mm-hmm. and they were the best team in football.
Mm.
They, of course, finished that season 6-10. Losing the last game,
right,
31-0, which is, of course, hilarious.
I think the first home opener, I'm trying to see if there's one I'm at before this, is 2015. I think that's the first home opener I'm at. I was at games before that. But home opener against Indy. Yeah, that's going to be it.
Percy Harvin.
Where the legend, right, of Tyrod was born and Percy Harvin caught a long touchdown for the Bills. Yep. That was a 13-point win over Andrew Luck and
Rex Ryan. Yeah.
That's Rex's first game.
Yeah.
Rex's first game starting a quarterback that was the third string guy coming into camp.
And beating Andrew Luck.
And he beat Andrew Luck, and they won the game. And they won the game kind of easily.
Yep.
Looking back at it. So that's a good one. There's a Jets home opener where they win in 2017. I'm just looking at week one games right now so I can look into week two and week three also. And then we're into COVID, and then we're into the more recent ones. Going back, there's a New England home opener. They lose by two in 2013. I might be at that one.
That's the Stephen Ridley game. Stephen Ridley fumbles the ball.
That's the Stephen Ridley game.
I mean, not really. Ridley fumbled. The Patriots win. I feel like that's EJ, right? They lose a close game to New England.
Yes.
EJ. And EJ. I feel like, boy, this is all that what a home opener sit around and remember some home openers show ends up being. But I think they stuffed Tom Brady on a quarterback sneak at the goal line.
Okay.
In that game. Right. I mean, if you pull up the game log and get Patriots drives, if you want this exercise.
I'm already in the box score.
Okay.
So.
I think the Bills stuffed him at the goal line.
Okay.
And turned it over and got it back, kept the game close, and of course lost, because they always lost in New England if it was a home opener or not.
Yeah, they were down 17-7 mm-hmm. in this game, and then they came back and made it close. Brady, was it on like a fourth down?
I think so. At the goal line, yeah.
Okay.
Or the one. Because
yeah.
He was always automatic with those, and they got a stop. They got a fourth down stop deep in their own territory to stay in the game.
Yeah, okay. Fourth and one at the one. Brady for no gain. Brady fumbles, recovered by Kiko Alonso.
Let's go.
Replay assistant challenged. The runner was down by contact ruling. Play was upheld. We had a replay review after that one, I guess. 21-20 is the closest the Bills got. Hey, like, against New England, that's mm-hmm. as good as they ever did. Just being in the game at all and not being... There's another New England game. It's not a home opener. I remember they make it close at the end, but they're down by like 20 at one point in time. That's a Tyrod game.
That's my favorite thing to say about that game is that's the blowout that was close.
They
got dominated.
Yeah.
And Tyrod and the Bills got the score back to 8 points and got the ball.
Yeah.
And they still lost.
How about from a stretch from 2000 to 2005, that's six home openers in a row, or six week ones in a row, the Bills were all at home.
Wow.
Tennessee, New Orleans, the Jets in overtime, the New England 31-0 game. They lost to Jacksonville 13-10.
Do you remember the Jacksonville game? If you're of a certain age, the Jacksonville game is like a core memory.
Hold on.
Absolute core memory.
Ernest Wilford?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Just old enough.
It's like Ernest Wilford, and it's knock it down, Nate, because there's a 4th and 12,
uh-huh.
and must be Brunell, right? Is it Mark Brunell?
Looking now.
Brunell to Jimmy Smith on 4th and...
Leftwich,
okay, yep. Leftwich to Jimmy Smith on 4th and 12, and Nate mm-hmm. Clements kind of goes for the pick instead of knocking it down.
Oh,
it's reminiscent of what Justin Jefferson did in that game against the Vikings a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Not that like Ben from them went for the pick, but it was a prayer, balls in the air, it's covered, and you're thinking, this game's over. And the Jags came down with it, went down and scored with Ernest Wilford. Core memory.
Yep. They beat Houston 22-7 in a home opener.
J.P. Lossman's debut, a touchdown pass to Jason Peters.
That's okay. That's right away. That's an early game.
And if I really want to go deep in my brain, Lossman almost throws a pick six in that game to a linebacker from the Texans.
Okay.
And I am not going to remember who that was.
It's not going to be Brian Cushing's too, it was not Brian too Cushing. Early for that, I yeah. think. 2 years later, 07, they lost in week one at home to Denver 15-14. Kevin Everett game.
Jason Elam running on the field with the clock ticking. No timeout. Bang. Through the uprights. Shocker.
Yep. Here's one I have no memory of. They opened a season at home against Seattle in 2008.
Yes. Fake field goal. Ryan Denny touchdown.
Sure. I could see that play.
I don't know if Ryan Denny...
Opening the season against Seattle.
He catches it. Is it a pass to Ryan Denny?
It's Mormon to Denny.
Yep.
Yeah.
Touchdown.
And then he walks
going right to left on the near sideline.
They lost to Miami 15-10 in 2010.
Trent Edwards throws it away on fourth down.
Oh, yes. He was cut. Wasn't he? That was it, right? I think he started that year and got cut like the next week.
Listen.
I think they cut him right after that.
We're doing the thing where we're having fun remembering the bad stuff.
Yeah, we are.
And I didn't
This is what spurred me saying, was the drought more fun? And it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
But it's fun to reminisce about the drought.
It is fun. Yes. I can remember for each
ridiculous.
Of these what seat I was in. And for the Trent one, I was sitting down low, and I remember they're down 15-10 to the Dolphins, and this guy cannot throw the ball past the sticks, and I'm pretty sure he threw it away on fourth down. Like, what are we doing? The Bills took an intentional safety in that game, or Miami did. That's why it's 15-10.
Okay.
Later, maybe even score. After that play, Miami takes an intentional safety knowing they can't move the ball. This is 20, what year is that? 2000 what?
2010. And, yes, so it looking at Edwards' Wikipedia, he started that game, got benched, backed up for 1 week, and then they cut him.
Yeah.
So they were very quick to get rid of him there. And then other home openers that were in road years, if you want that. So 2018 is the Chargers. That's Allen's debut.
Yep.
Well, his first start.
His first start.
After they got destroyed by...
I feel like
the Ravens.
This is a dumb. Did Scott Chandler cross over with Allen at all?
No.
Okay.
Lee Smith did. Not Scott Chandler. Charles Clay did.
Who is it then? Allen in that Charger game. There's one really big completion for them, but it's a short kind of busted play. I don't know.
Chris Ivory?
No, I'm losing that one.
I don't know.
In the chat, we got a question here. Ricky asks if I have a photographic memory, and I've never thought that I do.
Just it, but it's only when we're referring to the drought Bills.
Correct. It's that and
not really that valuable.
Yes,
or useful.
If I go on Jeopardy and the category comes up, boom, Bills drought. Oh,
Jeremy looks the other contestants like, you guys can just sit.
Let's
just
go.
You can just sit down for this one, guys.
Let's go.
I got this. 2016, their home opener was Week 2 against the Jets. They lost 37-31.
That Greg Roman got fired.
Thursday Night Football.
Yep.
Greg Salas caught a long touchdown for the Bills.
That I remember. I sat in my seats up in the 300 level. Here's my photographic memory.
Uh-huh.
And I tweeted out a picture where I blacked out the entire middle of the field and said, this is what Tyrod Taylor sees. Because he would not throw to the middle of the field.
Let me give you a tough
that
one
is
here.
That tweet is definitely still up, and Greg Roman got fired the next day.
Uh-huh. Let me give you a tough one. 2009, they're a home opener week two against Tampa. They won 33-20.
Dante Whitner pick six.
Man. He's going to get all these. Here we go. 06. 06. Oh, 06, week one and week two are on the road. Hold on.
Week three.
So I got to go to week three. So, all right, this is going to be, if I can't get you on this one, then I think you probably got it on all of them. Week three in 06. The Sabres are probably in, you know, first place by then already.
Yeah. Yep.
They lose to the Jets in week three, home opener, 28-20.
They lose, what year is it?
06. I mean, it not being like, it being 3 weeks
okay.
into the season
okay.
makes it a little tougher.
06. I think... Boy, I don't know.
Look at the stat lines here.
There's a game around week three where Trent throws three incompletions and plays pretty well. Okay. And that might have been his first start.
This isn't Trent.
Okay.
It's Lossman.
Lossman, 28-20.
Lossman goes 22 of 38 for 328 yards, a touchdown and a pick, and then a rushing touchdown.
Yeah, I don't remember this one.
McGahee goes 26 for 150. How did they lose? 200-yard receivers.
Victor Hobson, fumble return for a score?
Yes.
Bang.
There it is.
Let's go.
Victor Hobson. Just close the laptop.
Victor Hobson.
Victor Hobson.
This is my favorite game we've ever played.
What position is that guy even?
Linebacker.
Jeez.
Scoop and score.
That's how they lose a game where they had
here's a
2,000-yard rusher. How many games in Bills history have they had a 300-yard passer, a 100-yard rusher, two 100-yard receivers, and lost?
You want to know something about that game that is memorable to me? I predict the Bills would win that game by double digits. I was feeling good about them. What was their record before? They were
1-1.
1-1. I thought the Bills would win by double digits. They lost. Victor Hobson, scoop and score. And Alan Pergamon of the Buffalo News, hi, Alan, wrote and called me out in the paper for saying, like, NFL games don't have double-digit scores. Like, why would you think they're going to win by double digits? They lost. You look like an idiot. And, I mean, I kind of did.
They did outgain
him. So, how about that? I was in the paper for my prediction on that one.
What you should have said after they outgained him 475 to 256 was actually, by expected points,
that's right.
The score was 41 to 30.
I was ahead of my time. You got any more, or are we done?
hold on. I got.
I know we're late, but I come in. He's rolling.
More
right?
on the road.
Not
here.
Now. He's rolling.
It's the problem is they played so many home openers. Like did I miss anything?
Well, all home openers. You mean like week one?
Or week one, excuse me, yeah. We did 2009. Oh, here we go. 11 and 12.
Okay, two more.
Two
more and then a break. And then your phone calls, 803-0550.
All right, 2011, home opener week two against New England. We just did that one.
Okay.
That was week two. 2012, another week 3 year.
All right.
It appears. Hold on. Pulling it up. 2012 week two. All right. The Bills played the Chiefs. 35-17. They won.
Here?
Yeah.
35-17.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. This is going to be like the Dwayne Bowe Chiefs. I don't know if he did anything in that game. He might have caught a touchdown.
Dwayne Bowe caught two touchdowns in this game. After they were down 35-3.
I was about to say garbage time Dwayne Bowe.
Garbage time Dwayne Bowe. The scoring went Spiller 17-yard touchdown, Spiller 5-yard touchdown, Chandler 10-yard touchdown, field goal by the Chiefs, Stevie Johnson 49-yard touchdown, punt return touchdown, McKelvin 88 yards, 35-3. So that's Fitz.
Fun day.
There are a couple of games like that against the Chiefs. Isn't there where they just destroyed them?
They won in a season opener in Kansas City, 41-7.
Right.
All right. Home opener Sunday. Now that I've stretched my legs here, and you know, kind of
I think that's all the home openers going back to 2000.
All right,
we just went through there.
Sweet. I guess we can't have people.
What was the best one?
Call and remember. 31-0 was
still the best one.
Yeah, I was in the press box for that one, but it was amazing. My first attended home opener, but not my first in the stands. My first in the stands would have been one of the other ones. I'll have to find which one it was. 803-0550. It's a season to remember. Highmark Stadium, of course. I don't remember lots of things, but apparently I remember home opener scoop and scores
and every detail
by Victor Hobson.
Victor Hobson.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.